Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We started on Beatitudes yesterday, and we're going to go on throughout chapter 5 in the book of Matthew. So all of you can find your places again. I believe we left off at verse number what?
21.
Verse 21. Okay. But right now, and we have some letters. We've got about three letters. But let's go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint outwardly this service. Lord God Almighty, Lord, you bless those who are poor in spirit. Poor in spirit meaning that we realize our necessity for God, how necessary you are every day for us to keep our minds on you so that our minds are not on lust in this world or ourselves to satisfy our own self. Lord, and you stated that blessed are those that are persecuted for the kingdom of heaven. And the reason for it is because all those that are they live for God. They live for you. Lord, we ask that you'll cause many people to keep their eyes focused on you and off themselves, and that you'll cause people from your word. Some people are like those that don't even pay any attention to your word. They don't regard it at all. They are unresponsive to your word. They hear it. They put up with sitting in services and hearing your word, but they don't respond to it at all. There are so many people in churches today that hear your word. They sit through the service, and then immediately they begin committing adultery with their eyes. Attempt to gain men or women to themselves in their lust. So they're unresponsive to your word. They don't pay any attention to it. And there, you know, it seems very beautiful, Lord, when people receive the Lord very quickly, impulsively, and then after you see some things happen to them, maybe people bring false accusations against them. They are as impulsive to fall away because they just, there's no root in them. I don't know of anyone that has, other than yourself, Lord, and Paul and some of the other prophets, that have received more fallacy about themselves than myself. And all it does is makes me more angry at Satan. And you said that we are to be angry, but we are not to sin. Be ye angry, but sin not, you said. And so, Father, we ask that the right teaching of the word, that people will be responsive to it, and that they will not be preoccupied with the cares of the world. I've mentioned the four types of people. Those that are unresponsive, that's number one. Number two is the impulsive. Number three, those that are preoccupied with flesh, lust here on this earth. And then the good ones that are going to make it into the kingdom of God. In this chapter, Lord, we ask that you bless it, that you show people that there's no possible way that they can enter the kingdom of heaven if they're disobedient, if they're unresponsive, if they're impulsive, if they're preoccupied with the cares of this world. Some people send their souls to hell for such meaningless things as cartoons. They think, how could that God send anyone to hell for being concerned about Disney or cartoons or anything like that? Well, because they're preoccupied. When they look at those things, they're not praying to you. Praise the Lord. Lord, we ask that you teach, as you went up on the mount to teach your disciples, that you teach them from the rest of these different beatitudes. Make everybody know that they need you and that they live for you. Open their hearts, their minds, their spirits to be responsive to your word, and let them respond to it. I've brought so many services, as you know, Lord, tapes, written messages, and yet I've seen hundreds of people that have responded, even thousands of them, and I've seen tens of thousands of them that didn't respond at all. They respond for the moment, for the hour, and they, after the service, they say, "That was cool." And then they just go their merry way and do the same thing that they did before they heard the message. There, we're unresponsive. But open the minds, the hearts, the souls of everyone to hear and receive, to respond to your word, that the church will be set on higher ground and that souls will be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go. Let's hear some letters.
From Kanishi, Accra, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the name of our Lord Almighty God, who takes care of our conditions to and from everywhere. And also I am very excited and glad to write you this short letter. First and foremost, I thank and bless you for God's work that you are doing, and may God Almighty bless you with his divine wisdom and life of eternity. Secondly, I thank you for the literature you sent to me, and by the grace of God I have received them peacefully and I have started winning souls into his kingdom. Finally, I found a small letter with the literature talking about the t-shirts and sweatshirts, indicating I should write the size I need to wear. My size is small or medium, and color for the t-shirt should be black and the sweatshirt should be white. Yours in his holy name, Mensa from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, and then what?
And then from Abasi Akai, Accra, Ghana. Dear Pastor Lamo, I was very happy to receive the literature and also your book, The Messiah. Thank you very much, and may the Lord bless you in abundance. May your ministry be blessed and continue to do the wishes of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. May he bless you in everything that you do and grant you your heart's desires, and also protect you in whatever things you want to do for his name to be glorified.
Well, God does say, I keep following the Lord, and I have responded and follow him, and God says, God blesses those that are mocked and scoffed and persecuted because they are my followers, the Lord says. And the people that don't get persecuted, they don't follow the Lord, and they think they're getting away with murder on this side of eternity, but at the judgment bar, were gliding and resting here on this earth during the time that they should have been working. And when they get there before the judgment bar, I know that your word says that they won't be gliding anymore. They won't be resting. They're going to be spending eternity working. They're going to be tortured. The Bible says that hell is a torture chamber in the lake of fire, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, no rest, no water, no food, no sitting down, no remedy for the pain that they receive. And so when people say, I pray that you'll be blessed, I am blessed because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of the Word of God. And that's what it says, I believe, in the 10th verse, or in the 11th verse of the book of, in chapter 5 in the book of Matthew. That God blesses those that are mocked and scoffed and persecuted because they are his followers. But if you don't follow the Lord, there's no blessing on your life at all. But this man seems to be a follower of the Lord, and he prays for people that are frontliners like myself. All right, go ahead. Next one. Is this it? The same one?
Yes. Same.
All right, go ahead.
The literatures you sent me have actually changed a lot of lives in my community and my school. Most of them came back to ask for more literature, but by then it was all distributed. A friend of mine who was a thief, when he read the literature, he stopped stealing, and he is now living a good life.
Well, see, yeah, a life, if you stop stealing, that's one thing, but then there are many other things that we have to do. And the book, the chapter 5, which is the Beatitudes, tells you, the Lord teaches on the Mount, how we are blessed. Not just when we stop stealing, when we stop doing everything that is carnal. And some people just think that's too straight. They actually, deep down, hate the gospel because it tells them what they must do, and their flesh is belligerently wanting to do something else. And people do have to repent from their sins. The Lord stated that not one jot or tittle of the law will go away until all is fulfilled. He did not come into this world to do away with the law, to abolish it, but he came to fulfill it. And then he talks about divorce and tells that a man is not to divorce a woman unless she's only for the cause of unfaithfulness. The original writing is unfaithfulness. And there's a lot to unfaithfulness. A woman is supposed to be a helpmate to the man, but if she doesn't even lift a finger to help him, she's not a wife. Not at all. She's more interested in helping other men or other women or whatever, but not the husband. And then people wonder about divorce. Why is there so much divorce? Well, that's the reason, because they're unfaithful to the Lord, and they're unfaithful to their men. The Bible says to learn only from your husband, but they want to learn from many other men. And many of them I see in churches even want to have relations with other men. And they don't think there's anything wrong with it. But the Lord, again, is not going to say, come in, my good and unfaithful servant or non-servant. Horribly done. He says, come into everlasting rest, my good and faithful servant, only to the faithful. Those that realize their need for God, and those that keep their mind stayed upon him, and those that are his followers, because his sheep follow him wherever he goes, and that they won't listen to demonic spirits, or they won't listen to their flesh like the unfaithful ones do. It's just amazing to me how the unfaithful ones think that their husbands should still love them. Isn't that something? Okay, then what?
I myself sometimes get tempted to do bad things, but by reading most of your literature, I had a change of mind. The reason for my writing is that I want you to send me more literature and also a Bible. It is not that I don't have a Bible. I do have one, but my friend does not have one, so I want you to send a Bible so I can give it to my friend so that his evangelizing the word of the Lord will be easier and faster.
So this man says that he has become responsive. Sometimes his flesh wants to lust or do something wrong, but he hears the messages and he responds to them, and it makes him to where he doesn't want to do it. And can you imagine how horrible people are that listen to messages and they don't respond? Because there's too many things that are interesting to them in the world. Too many, for women, you know, married women, too many guys. Too many guys. And for the men, too many females. Too many females. And they just want to be satisfied. They want their flesh satisfied. And they want somebody to, anybody will do, almost. And they'll commit unfaithfulness at the drop of a handkerchief. You don't even have to drop a handkerchief. Their eyes are wandering. Their eyes are full of adultery. Okay, then what?
I hope my request will be granted, and may the Lord grant you His divine mercy and grace.
Well, He does all the time because I'm a follower of His. A lot of people follow men, the women do, and a lot of men follow women, but I follow the Lord. And some people say, well, you're too strict. The Bible, the Lord is strict. He's a very good God, but He's very strict. He's not going to let whores, prostitutes, those that lust in their flesh into heaven. That just happens to be a very plain and simple, very plain fact. And some people just can never grasp the gospel. They're always looking for something in the world. They're always thinking about something, preoccupied with their thoughts. They could turn a television channel onto something, and immediately, if there's somebody that's good looking, the guys will just lust after them, and their wives will just serve them hand and foot, or the women will just be lusting and pretending like the husband doesn't know anything about it. This is so, it's just really depressing, but I can tell you, I've even had people in the ministry come up to me and say, I wonder if it's wrong to pray that my husband dies so that I can have another man. And some women actually poison their husbands or kill them because they know that the secular courts are 100% for adulteresses and murderers. They'll say, well, he was mean to me. Well, let me remind you, an adulteress of the Old Testament is supposed to be stoned to death. Because her mind is not on the Lord at all. It's on other men. Amen?
Amen.
And also, even, you know, people that are disobedient are, the Bible tells, that are to get stripes. Well, wait a minute. This is the 21st century. Yeah, but the Lord never changes, you know. And I'm not saying that I would beat a wife or anything like that. But the Bible doesn't condemn that. But if they're unfaithful, what I'd do is just put a wife away. There's just no disputing it because I want to follow the Lord. I want to be faithful to Him, and that's what He says to do. And you think that's cruel. In other words, the Lord is cruel, right? Is that what the Lord is cruel, everybody?
No.
Okay. It's just that if you would say that, well, then no, you're just unfaithful to the Lord. You're not a follower of His. You don't really love the Word of God. It actually vexes you to have to sit through a service. You can't wait to get to whatever you were doing before the service, before the Word of God bounces off your eardrums. It's not received. It bounces off. But I don't want you to let the Word of God bounce off of you out there in radio land. I pray that it will sink deep into your ears and that you'll receive it. You guys out there, aren't you sick and tired of the pigs out in the world? The trashy females that are just always cruising you, always checking you out and stuff? Doesn't that make you lose respect for them? It sure did me, and it was so beautiful when the Lord gave me Susie, because I observed her for a while before God ever even told us that we were to be married. And I didn't cruise any guy at all, and that's why I respected her so much, because I knew that she was of God. I knew she wasn't out after anything like that. And she didn't have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. She was for real. And I really, really, really praise and thank the Lord for giving her to me. And, and she taught me so much about the Bible. Just by being with her. We read the Bible occasionally together. I used to just study for hours. And But yeah, I saw her, I heard her preach and teach, and I saw the way she conducted herself. She didn't just read the Bible and learn what it says, but she actually practiced what it said. She was a woman of the Lord, and the smartest woman, and the most prestigious woman that I've ever met in my life, and I've met quite a few. Okay, let's continue on.
I hope this letter reaches you in good health. Thank you for all the things you have done for us believers to become believers. Yours in Christ, David, from Abasi Akai, Accra, Ghana.
Right. Well, we have to believe and we have to follow. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now what's the next one?
This is from Makwa, Niger State, Nigeria. Dear sir, Calvary greetings to you and God's ministry in the name of our soon coming King. Amen. I am indeed very grateful for the support of God's ministry in my life through the parcels you sent to me twice. Frankly, many souls have been blessed through this literature. Even my husband and I are also blessed. This has given me a great privilege to witness beyond my place of assignment. Sir, I wish you would help me to write, or if I may receive from you literature concerning the issues of family living.
Okay, well, I just gave you a pretty good dose of family living here. You have to be faithful to your husband. It sounds like you're a real woman of the Lord, and it seems like you probably are. Then what else?
Because of the rate of divorce in our society, I have been facing challenges when counseling, and I need books for such counseling and also some Bibles.
All right, well, if you read the Beatitudes to them, you know, any unfaithfulness, and one of the things that Susie told me when we were just about to get married, the Lord gave her a vision all night long about getting married to me. He showed her, I was just newly saved, and she had been a pastor for some 25 years, and she was fighting that vision. She said it went on all night long. She stated that the Lord was showing her visions of her and myself. She was dressed in a wedding gown, and I was dressed in a tuxedo. We had our arms linked, and we were going through an arbor, a long arbor with big red roses, the biggest roses that she ever saw. And she said there were big drops of dew coming off of them. And she said we were walking through there, and she said, "No, Lord. He's too young. He's too young in the Lord." I was 7 years younger than her. I can't remember, 7 or 9 years younger than her. And also, I was new in the Lord. And the Lord says, "But he's strong." And then I came in and I heard her praying there. I couldn't hear what she was praying. It sounded like a beehive of bees buzzing. And I fell asleep. I had a toothache, and it went away. I sat on the couch out in the living room, and there was a bunch of brothers and sisters in there. And when the pain went away, I'd been up all night with it, I fell sound asleep, and the Lord started showing me a vision of Sue, and that she was laying on a couch with a velour outfit on. It was a red top and a blue pair of pants made out of velour, and her hair was cut. It wasn't cut the night before, but it was cut in the vision. And when I woke up, I saw that her hair was just the same way as I just saw in the vision. But it showed me walking into the room and kneeling down by the couch and kissing her, and I pushed myself up. I said, "No." And I said, "This is my Bible teacher. This is the most godly woman I've ever met in my life. I don't want to do this." And when I was pushing myself up, I saw the vision still when my eyes were open. And the vision just kept staying there from my dream vision. And it was like a live vision when I saw it. And then all of a sudden, it was just our profiles, my left profile and her right. And the vision started shimmering. And I said, "No, Lord, she knows more than I do. She's older in the Lord than I am." And the Lord answered back, "That's good for your ego." And I said, "My ego? I didn't know I had an ego." And then he started pouring out, like the Holy Spirit was like puffs around me, like clouds around me, saying, "It's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true." And this vision started shimmering It turned black with the white, just white wrought iron, hot white of wrought iron. It was like it was on fire, so hot that it was white hot. And it started shimmering, and then there was this sound that came with it. And he kept saying, "It's true, it's true, it's true." And this vision came right into my head and down into my soul, and I felt the hand of God enter my body and wake my heart up, because I'd never been in love with anyone before. I couldn't fall in love with a bunch of people that the women were just tramps out there. And, you know, the way I see it today, they're even worse today than they were then. But they were really bad. All my life I noticed females were not faithful, and they were just the way they are. You can see it on television, and I just thought, why would God give me somebody this pure of heart and so holy as she was? And when it was going into this vision was going into my mind and into my heart, it was making like a phone that was off the hook and just went down. And I saw her go. I mean, and it was like a thud of like a mausoleum door shutting. And then I went out. And so, yes, I knew that she was going to die before myself. And then I went out after that. And it just seems like yesterday when this happened. And so even if I went out today, or, you know, a year or two or 5 or 10 years from now, time goes so fast. But I saw what was going to happen, and the Lord put us together, and we kicked off the biggest revival that's happened in history. You may see people that have large congregations, and some we do too. And but the ones that we have are not, they don't cotton, or they don't like false doctrine. The people that really like our ministry are those that really love discipline. They love the Lord. They're followers of the Lord. And there's just not that many. The Bible says, straight is the way and narrow is the gate to eternal life. And few there be that find the way thereof. But broad is the way of destruction. You just see these females and all men and everything just going all different ways. And there's no way that you can pull them in. I had another vision from the Lord where it was a spotlight coming down from heaven. And it was like a singer on a stage where a spotlight comes down on them. And it was like orangish yellow, and there was the silhouettes of Sue's body and mine in there. And we were reaching out in the dark. And every so often we'd grab onto somebody's arm to try to pull them into the light, and they'd pull back viciously. And then some of them, their arm would come in and their shoulder, and then some of them, and they'd pull back. And then some of them, their arm, their shoulder, and their leg would come in, and they'd pull back. And the only ones, it's just one person after the other that we were trying, and it was just silhouettes. When they'd come in out of darkness, they'd pull back into darkness. Because they're sinful, the people of this world, and they love darkness. They love their heads stuck in the sand more than they love to be out in the light. And the Lord tells about that. And I told Sue about it, and she said, yeah, that just goes to show that the people in the world, there's going to be very few saved. For broad is the way to destruction, and very, very many of them shall go the way of Satan. And I just love the visions the Lord gave me. And I'm not that bright of a person, but the Lord wised me up. That's why no one can shake me away from the Lord. I've been threatened with death for over 41 years now by the world government, the Catholics, and I've been threatened by religionists. And we've on the streets in Los Angeles, we were there for years, Sue and myself only, and we would be distributing literature, and we'd win some hippies to the Lord. And before that, I would go to these different missions down in Los Angeles, Sister Jerry's mission, and Kenny Feldman and his wife Billy's mission, and over Herman and Marie Beat's mission. And we'd preach the gospel in there because Susie didn't want to take me to the more sophisticated missions because I was a very crude type person back then. And my speech was full of slang. I'd used all kinds of show business slang at that time. And pretty soon we had a house full. We were living in Malibu, and then the Lord kept saying, you have to get down from Malibu, sitting on top of a mountain here, and get down into Hollywood. So Susie found a shack. It was $60 or $65 a month. It didn't have a floor in it. Everything was not there, and the hippies had been crashing in there. It was right behind a filling station and an apartment house, an old apartment house. And that's where we lived, and then we started the biggest movement of Christianity in the world that has ever happened in centuries. And I know that there's been your Martin Luther's with his lot of his false doctrine, because he still was involved in Catholicism, and the Lutheran Church is still united with the Catholics, and so are many of the other major religions. But at any rate, people, I was so happy to be married to Susie because there wasn't one ounce of unfaithfulness in her. And that's the real kind of marriage. I knew that she was the woman that God created for me from before the foundation of the world. There was no other female for me. I never loved anybody before that. And it's just, I'll never love anybody like her again, ever. And I just pray that, females would be like her, because she was the ideal female in the Lord. She was just like any faithful and holy woman that is in the Bible. And I don't believe that there was a marriage put together more supernatural than ours. Even Adam and Eve was no more supernatural than with us, because it was impossible for somebody like me that just was saved to be married to a woman of that caliber. She was something else. And to me, I always say, in my literature, I write, everybody needed a house pig, and so I had one around, and then when they get too piggish, I just put them out and get another house pig. You needed them there to wash your clothes and iron, and if they got too porky, well, then I just put them out. Or if you catch them just doing things that you don't like, or they start mouthing off to you, I just put them out of the house. And I was sick and tired of those kind of women. And I think that almost every man in the world is sick and tired of them. There's no faithfulness in the world anymore. The Bible tells that people will not be faithful in the last days. Oh, let's finish this letter here.
Indeed, I most appreciate your effort concerning the T-shirt. I prefer both large and small sizes. Finally, my family and my colleagues give our gratitude to those in your ministry. I remain yours faithfully, Mrs. Fina, from Makwa, Niger State, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, now don't get me wrong. I see some women that are faithful, or very few, but I see some in the ministry. All right, so now let's get on with chapter 5. Where did we leave off? To verse 21?
Yes.
Okay, let's begin.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And who?
Well, it's actually in the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt not murder. Now, the Lord doesn't care if you defend yourself at all. You see the Israelites doing that all the time. But to actually stalk somebody, to murder them, is wrong. But you are allowed, according to God, to defend yourself against a murderer, or somebody that's trying to murder your wife or your children. And so there's so go ahead and read the rest.
And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the
and
judgment.
And who shall ever shall murder, it's what it says in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, okay? It's not at all I just told you that it was murder, and we're reading King James here, and so you can disregard it in the King James and just change kill to murder. Now, it's wrong to murder, but now, if somebody murders somebody, then you're not to just be passive and not bring them to justice. You're to turn them over to the law, let them go to court, and they'll probably not execute them, but even the Lord says that they're to be stoned to death, but nowadays they are to be put to death. And because they don't do that anymore, you see more and more murders in a lawless society, and that's exactly what the Bible says, is Satan would be cast down to earth, and he would be raging and causing sin to abound, lawlessness to abound. The Bible calls the Antichrist the lawless one. And you see all kinds of people following him. Like I said about married women, they're not really married at all. They're unfaithful, and therefore they can be dismissed from the house for unfaithfulness. And there's a lot of preachers that say, oh, you're supposed to forgive them. That is not in the Bible, okay, because you can't forgive unfaithfulness at all. A husband cannot forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. And these preachers are so bad, it's unbelievable. Then what?
Verse 22, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment.
Now, notice that it says without a cause. You can be angry, but not without a cause. Or you can hate somebody, but not without a cause. All right? If they're of the devil and they would refuse to repent and they just keep being unresponsive to the Word of God, well, I mean, you know, you've got to hate that demonic person that's in them, because they never change. They refuse to change. They're stubborn. They're like a whorish woman, stubborn, impudent. What have I done? Because they don't think there's anything wrong with it. They think God is to be mocked. And they thumb their nose at God and God the Scriptures. God is the Scriptures. Okay, then what?
And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council.
That's, in other words, to call somebody a homosexual when they are really not. Okay? Then what?
But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
Well, the Bible says that a fool has said in their heart there is no God. And so you're not to call people a fool when you don't know that they might repent. You're supposed to preach the gospel to people and pray that they'll repent. But they're not going to repent if you don't preach the real gospel to them. Not that God loves you unconditionally, because he does not love you unconditionally. Everything with God is conditional. And don't let anyone tell you that it's not. Everything is conditional with God. I am your friend. If is a little word with a big meaning. If you do everything I say. Amen?
Amen.
That's conditional, friends. And he says that only his people shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Those that are his followers, those that are unresponsive to him, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Adulteresses and adulterers, all adulterers and adulteresses shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. All unfaithful. He's not going to let you in. You might as well know that now, so if there's any fiber of God in you at all, that you can repent. All right, but if you don't, well, that's on you, not him or me, because you can't say at the judgment bar that I didn't warn you. All right, then what?
Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way.
He's talking about somebody that called somebody a homosexual or a fool or something like that. If you did something like that to them, don't be bringing an offering and think that that's going to get you off the hook with the Lord. You have to go to him and ask forgiveness. All right? Some people would call it apologizing, but the Lord says ask humbly for forgiveness. That's different than an apology. Then what?
First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and
offer. Yeah, apologize so much, or get to him and tell him, ask forgiveness so much that he actually reconciles himself back to you. I mean, you have to really humble yourself before anyone will reconcile themselves to you after you've done that kind of harm to a person. All right? Then what?
Then come and offer thy gift. Verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly.
In other words, yes. When in the way with him. When you're in... when the secular government comes to you and tells you to do something, as long as it's not an ungodly thing to do, do it. I mean, if they ask you to pay taxes, pay it. If they ask you for your coat, fine. Give them your cloak also. If they ask you to go a mile, go twain. Overdo it just to be sure that you're going to get into heaven. All right? Overdo it. They call me Tony Overkill Alamo, okay? I always like to overdo it, okay? But to make sure, I want to make sure I'm in heaven. Some people don't care anything about their own soul. That's why they don't care anything about anybody else's soul. Okay, go ahead.
Whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison.
Right. We were witnessing over in Daytona Beach when the big Daytona 500 race was on. We were passing out literature there, putting them on windshields, and the police said, hey, you can't do that. So we took off. Not because of the officer, but because it was of the Lord. The Lord said to do it. We went down another block, and just there was plenty of cars all over the place. Where there was 500,000 people there that day. And when they came out, we were passing out literature to them. The Apostle Paul, when they were told not to witness and testify, they went, and the Lord told them to go and do it anyway. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because it's better that we should listen to God rather than men, right?
Amen.
Right then, what?
Verse 26. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing.
Yeah, you'll really go through it if you don't do what they say, because the government, the secular government, the Lord will just let them have you because you're disobeying his commandments. You're not obedient. You're unresponsive to the Lord's command. Say yes. I've told about the time that I was in prison for the gospel's sake, where I was in line. I waited there for about an hour to get on the phone, and it was my time next, and the guard said, Alamo, get over here. I said, why don't you get some ice for the special housing unit over here? I said, yes, sir. And I just stepped out, and here I'd waited, and I had to get on the phone. But I went and got the ice. I went to the ice machine with the thing, and a bunch of guys there that like me says, hey, Tony, we'll do it for you. I said, no, the guard told me to do it. A correctional officer told me to do it, and I wanted to serve the Lord, and the guy was shocked out of his mind, the guard. And so I did it, and I took it over to the hole, or the special housing units, the shoe, and he told me, he went out and told everybody in line, hey, Alamo's next. I pulled him off the phone. Now you let him go on next. And so the man was under conviction, because he probably knew that statement in the Bible, and he saw that I was very observant to it. How will people be saved if you're a pig, if you're lusting after somebody, if you're smiling at people, if you're leering at them, if you're hawking them, and then you're going to tell them you're a Christian? Or if the police tells you to do something and you stand in their face, and give them a hard time. No, the Lord says, you know, when you're in the way with them, what?
Agree with your adversary.
Yeah, agree with them. Yeah, we'll get the ice. Okay, yeah, we'll go down the block, whatever. No big deal. And then they say, oh, this guy, he's all right. You know, he listens to me. But the worst thing you could do is start balking and tell the police officer, hey, we're children of God. The Most High, we'll show you children of God. We know in the Bible that the Lord says you to obey us, and so we'll just cart you off to jail, and you're going to have to pay a lot of money to get out and go through court, and it's going to be on your record that you're a very offensive person. Okay, then what?
Verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28.
Yeah, that thou shalt not be unfaithful is what that really means in the original language. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
He's already been unfaithful to her in his heart. He's already committed adultery with her. Okay, then what?
Verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee.
Yeah, just gouge it out. What that means is to get a hold of the Lord and get so much of light in there that it's gouged out. It doesn't mean for you to just gouge it out. But the Lord said that it would be better for you to do that and go into the kingdom of heaven with one eye. And it says take your best eye is what the Bible really says, the original Hebrew and also the Aramaic. It says to gouge out, not the worst eye that you got, but the best eye. It says if you're a thief, to cut off not your least hand, but cut off your best hand, the strongest one, if you're a thief. Because it's better for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven without an eye, without your best eye, and without your best hand, than to wind up in hell with your whole body. Okay, continue on.
For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off.
Yeah, that's your best hand, right?
Right.
Then what?
And cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell.
Right, so if your left hand is the strongest hand, yeah, that's the one you cut off. Okay, if you want to touch something that you're not supposed to touch. Okay, then what else?
Verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Verse 32. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of unfaithfulness, causeth her to commit adultery.
Okay, there's a lot of things that are unfaithful, that women can be unfaithful with. One is to be having sexual relationships or even communicating with another man. She's not supposed to. She's not even supposed to have another man or men on her mind. And there are many women in churches that are... I've been in churches where women rush up, and I know they're married, and they'll grab a hold of my hand. This is when I was in... with Susie and everything, they'd know I was married, and they'd hang onto my hands and just start vibrating or something, like the Holy Spirit was going through them because of me or something. Or they'd say, I know you're a Jew, and I know you've got the same flesh as Jesus, let me touch your hand or something like that. And I'd say, Sue, come on, let's get out of here, you know, because I don't want to contribute to any person's lust that is not my wife, okay? It's all right to lust after your own wife. Ravish her. And the woman's supposed to ravish her own husband. But unfortunately, that isn't the case today. They're unfaithful. And so a man can be divorced from an unfaithful woman and just leave her, just put her out of the house. Get rid of her. Okay, then what else?
And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery.
Now, if a man leaves a woman I mean, he goes out and just is, does not want to have anything to do with the Lord. He doesn't want to live with her anymore. She, according to the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, can remarry, but only in the Lord. But that's a husband that doesn't want anything to do with her. Or if a husband was a liar and committing adultery and sowing discord in the church, if he was carrying a gun, especially in our church, and he was committing adultery with women, and unsavory women too, who might have AIDS or something, and he's not going to adhere to the Word of God, that those kind of people I put out of the church. Because in the 11th chapter of Revelation it says to measure people up, and if they don't measure up to the Word of God, to put them outside the church with the Gentiles. Now, I know much, you know, all the churches that I know of don't believe that. They believe that you should just forgive them. And that's why they've all fallen away, because you've got every kind of adulterer and fornicator and thief and liar in the church. And it's just everybody gets disheartened and figures, well, if they're allowed in the church, maybe we'll make in. So they start doing the same thing. No, this is a holy post, outpost of the Lord here on earth. And that's the way it has to be. Now, the Lord has told me to be patient with some people. I'm more patient than I was before, because I used to just bail them out right away. But I am patient with them until possibly one of these messages get a hold of some of them. And if it does, well, beautiful. And if it doesn't, well, out they go. Whenever the Lord says to, I have no authority to put anyone out of the church unless God tells me to. And if he does, they're gone. Okay, then what?
Verse 33. Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Verse 34.
Yeah, see, like, if you take an oath in marriage, for instance, you have to keep it. And, okay, go ahead.
But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven.
By heaven, earth, or by your own head. Okay? Go ahead, because the heaven is where God's throne is, and earth is where his footstool is. Okay, and you can't make one hair on your head turn brown, red, orange, unless you die, but still the hair underneath there has not changed its color. Amen?
Amen.
It's still gray or whatever it was before you put hair or dye on it. Okay, then what else?
Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, verse 35, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Verse 36. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay.
Yeah, let your communication be yes, I will, or no, I won't. Because anything other than that is, there must be something wrong with you to have to swear that you'll do something, or that you'll swear that you won't do something. I swear by the Almighty, I will do it. No, the Lord just says, just say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Because anything other than that means that there's something wrong with you. Okay, go ahead.
For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil.
Right, there's something evil with you. Okay, then what?
Verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.
Yeah, I'll punch your eye out, or if you punch my eye out, I get to punch yours out, or if you knock one of my teeth out, I'm going to get to knock your teeth, one of your teeth out. Then what?
Verse 39. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also.
Right. So, resist not evil, in other words, but pray that God will save their soul. And just do that, and God will bless you. But that means to don't let it throw your soul either. If they spite you on the if they try to stop you from doing the ministry by saying all kinds of false things about you, that's a smite also. But just keep bringing forth the gospel. I remember a little girl was walking down the street with this huge guy. It was an older woman, and this huge guy was with the Los Angeles Rams. And he said, "Are you a real Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am." And so he said, in other words, if I smash you in the mouth, you'll turn the other cheek. And I said, "Yes, I will." And so he doubled up his fist, and I just stood there. And he went to hit me, and then he just went over my head. He says, "You're a real Christian." Okay, go ahead. So he really crumbled at that. That really got him. Main thing is to win souls. That's what the Lord wants us to do. All right? And even if it means that your mousy flesh gets hit, so what? It's a lot better than burning in hell. Amen?
Amen.
And in the lake of fire. All right?
Amen.
Then what? So crucify your flesh. The Bible tells you to don't let your flesh have its own way, but discipline your flesh to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Discipline your mind to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Discipline your heart to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Maybe you see people that are more handsome than your husband, or maybe you see prettier women than your wife. That's very easy to do, because the world is filled full of quote pretty people. But you have a wife, and you're to be faithful to her, or you have a husband, you're to be faithful to him. All right, then what?
Verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also.
Yeah, because the cloak is even more expensive. It's gonna, let him have the one thing, and then also give him your coat also, which is more expensive. Make sure that you're going into heaven. But right now I see that our time is up, and so we're going to continue this on tomorrow. So make sure you tune in. It's for you and your loved ones to hear these things from God. These are scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. The Word is God, and the Word came into the world and became flesh. So those of you that would love to start being responsive to the word of the Lord rather than being unresponsive like you've been all your life, and not to do this impulsively. If you want to be saved and not be preoccupied with the things of the world, but you want to be a good seed that's sowed in good soil, then say this prayer to the Lord. If you do, and you mean it with all your heart, you'll be saved. Okay, say to God with all your heart, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. And until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Lama saying, God bless you real good. And praise the Lord. Amen.